Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
It's 10 o'clock and this
10 o'clock
is the FUBAR Radio presents Geekatorium's 27-hour comic relief challenge podcast challenge podcast.
Yay! So wait, you guys are called Geekatorium?
Yeah, we run a comedy show called Geekatorium.
Oh, it's that all totally makes sense now.
You were thinking, what?
Yeah. Well, I was like, these are three people that should be... Do you know, you're like the Big Bang Theory.
Thank you. How dare you? Like the Get out!
Listen, I love Sheldon Cooper.
The thing is, if you're a proper geek, you don't watch that. You watch Community.
I don't even know what that is.
Get out. Get out. No, no, Community is a beautiful sitcom, and it's exactly hardwired into geek culture. It's about these people who go to a community college, and it's effectively like one of those kind of schooly kind of sitcoms, but they have massive flights of fancy episodes where one's animated, one's stop motion, and one's all like a paintball kind of episode.
Lots of spoofs and parodies and
but
things.
But can I ask you a question? Because I know you're really like angry about Big Bang right now. I can tell. But
he's
say someone turned around to you and was like, guys, I would like you to join the Big Bang Theory family. You would do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'm not stupid.
Well, the joyous thing about being an actor is that you don't have to, like, a prerequisite of getting work isn't liking the thing in the first place. When you go for casting, they don't go, now tell me how much you like this TV programme. They just basically get you to read it and find out if you can...
I really like trash TV, so anything I audition for tends to be trashy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm open to this. So most people are like, oh, God, like, why would you do that? And I'm like, because it's brilliant.
What have you auditioned for that you would consider considerably trashy?
Okay, well, I'm just going to say it because I didn't get it, so who gives a shit? I auditioned for Hollyoaks.
I've auditioned for Hollyoaks.
Have you?
Yeah.
That makes me have more respect for you already.
It was my first father role. I was like, I'm finally getting to play dads now. I'm now
it's
that
just because you can grow a beard.
Yeah, I basically got a beard, so I'm the most manly of all men. the quickest shortcut.
I had an actress friend of mine who was completely distraught when she got an advert because it was the first one she got where she had to play a mother. And it was for Iceland or something like that. And she was just like, I'm glad I got it. Bless her.
Not 22 anymore, guys.
Advert castings are the worst, though, aren't they? Like, you go and they sit you in their, like, cattle.
Yeah.
And then they drag you in and then they're like, can you pretend to flirt with this woman? And I'm like, listen, it'd be better for you to audition me as being the woman than to audition, like...
They're always kind of really cold auditions, though, those kind of things, because they ask you to do really... I didn't have an audition for, I think it was KFC. And the advert was literally, sit down there, mime eating fries.
What?
And that was it. I had to just go, oh, that's a nice fry. And then it was just awkward and weird.
Well, I don't get to advertise food because I'm too big.
What do you advertise? Or what?
Well, I'm not allowed to have it. There's a thing about if you're to a certain size... You can't advertise food because it encourages, it's sort of promoting obesity, not...
Oh.
Although I argue, who do you think's eating the chips? Who do you think's eating crisps?
Who
do you think's
who is your target audience?
You know who we sell most of our crisps to? Supermodels.
Yeah.
You know with these things, though, they totally know within, like, a second of you walking in. Like, sometimes I think they just put you through, like, eating the fake chips just so they can have a little bit of enjoyment in their day because they know us on seeing you. Like, I once had to audition to be a father... for a McCoy's advert doing a barbecue. And I don't even eat red meat. I'm not doing a barbecue.
They wanted more of an alpha male type.
Yeah, like with a hairy chest, which is my dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'd be better like, oh, advertising Spanx.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah, I'd be really good at that.
But what kind of advert would you build around the object of Spanx? How would you craft that advert?
You could kind of do it like the Beyoncé single ladies dance, I guess. Because like she's in like the leopard thing, so you could be in your Spanx just doing the... Can I do that?
Yeah.
You're doing it.
But in Spanx... Well, you know the rules of radio.
A bit of twerking. You could throw in a whole move of like, you know... twerking and
is that Eli coming back in?
Eli's
coming
back in the room.
Oh. Hello.
Don't Eli, worry. You missed us making up an advert for Spanx.
What would you do if you had to advertise Spanx? How would you craft that advert?
Okay. just a bit of background needed here.
Yeah.
Spanx.
Well,
they hold your belly and your bum in.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're like tight knickers.
Yes, they're like tight knickers that keep it all in. Like the beautiful self.
Okay, so we've got you keep it all in with Spanx.
Yeah.
You what about know this? Your problem. You keep it all in.
What about this? There's Spanx.
Like we open.
Okay.
There's this schlub, this guy walking down the road. He's a schlub. He's tired looking and overweight. And he passes these two attractive ladies. And he kind of, you see his face kind of craggily try and smile and sort of give him a nice look. And they laugh at him. And then the voice...
Okay, go on.
Then the voiceover comes in. Are you a schlub? Well, maybe not schlub, because we're going for the British market.
Yeah.
Are you a slob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you an unsexy fool?
Yeah.
Spanx.
Oh!
I think what would be better would be if the overweight person walking down the street sees two women, right? Who are, you know... And then it turns out that what happens is they've got Spanx on. They take their Spanx off, and they're as big as him. And it's like that Shrek reveal where it turns out that she's not the prince. She's there, and actually they're all in love because they're all really fat.
Yeah, but how does that sell the product, Rich?
It does.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful story.
it's just, you know.
No, but that's good. That's what Paul came up with there. We could do it to the theme of Flash. Spanx.
They'll fit every one of us.
I have a question, and I feel like you three will shoot me for this question. But do you know Flash, when it's is that Flash Gordon or The Flash?
It is.
It's Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. What's the difference?
Between The Flash and Flash Gordon?
Yes.
Well, The Flash Gordon doesn't really have superpowers. He's just an American football player who ends up...
Yeah, who ends up in... so basically, that's an old, like, 1930s cereal, sort of, like, from the 30s, like a sort
like
of...
Like a cereal breakfast.
No.
Guys, you are educating tonight. Only just creating an amazing podcast for Comic Relief.
A radio serial.
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of the superheroes started as radio serials, didn't
they? Yeah, mostly. Batman did, I believe, and James
you
Bond
had,
did.
There were books, but... Like then it became like a TV, like what they call like Saturday morning cartoons. You go to the cinema. Yeah. They used to have lots of things at the cinema, didn't they? So, like, even when you used to go to the proper cinema, like, you know, in the 40s, they would be like, they'd be called like a B picture, where you'd get like a short film and then a picture and then a movie, which wasn't as good as the movie you were going to see. So, you see, that's where the B film thing comes from. So, you actually see, like, you've been to the movies, you've got a movie, another movie, and half a movie.
And you got the news.
And the news.
And cartoons.
Yeah,
it's
like Pathé News and cartoons. That's where, like, a lot of the Tom and Jerry things were, like, made to go at the cinemas before movies were on.
You three are hilarious. How often do you go to the cinema each week?
I don't go at all now.
I used to go, but I just stream.
I just sit in my bed, surrounded by the crispy duvet. Build up a wall of crispy duvet around me. Netflix.
Yeah.
And I watch about the first 20 minutes of a film, thinking to myself, this is fucking awful. And then I go to sleep.
Oh, because what I tend to do is I watch the beginning of a film, then go, I might just watch Sunny in Philadelphia again for 8 hours, which is
great. I used to go to the cinema a lot. And then the problem is most modern films are boring.
Yeah.
Like, I find them quite long and boring, and, like, you don't have to see them in the cinema. Yeah. Like, so I can wait. I'm quite happy to wait till they're on Netflix or, you know.
Do you guys ever do that, Comic Con?
Yeah, we've
been as both a punter and as a performer to those
amazing.
Sorts of things.
Amazing.
It's been exciting times, yeah.
And also, do you watch Pretty Little Liars?
No, I've not seen that yet.
Guys, it's a hit NBC family show that is available on Netflix.
I've never heard of it.
It's amazing.
It's season 4. I think my mum's got the box. It's season 4. Season 3, there was a fire. That's all I know about it.
Well, I'm educated.
Yeah, there was a clubhouse fire.
There was a fire in a barn.
Yeah.
And now, what I really want to get down to is the nitty-gritty of who is your favourite out of Cheryl Cole?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Ready?
Cheryl Cole, Katie Price. Sorry, Cheryl Fernandez Vicini.
Yeah, get it right. For God's sake.
What am I doing? I'm not doing my job properly. Cheryl Fernandez Vicini, Katie Price, or Josie Cunningham.
Could I field this, Paul?
Oh, bye.
Yes, please. Who's Josie Cunningham?
She's the lady who had her boobies done on the NHS and then, also makes the government pay for her. To get her kids a taxi to and from school because she's now too famous
to drive
to take them on the bus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which well, is she's not a euphemism. Out. Can I just say, it's yeah. a, it's easy, Katie Price.
Yeah, I'd have to pick Katie Price, I think.
She's Why?
She's all woman.
Most of her.
Yeah. I just think she's sexy. What?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't so much.
Also, that Raw song. It's actually quite well written.
Is it Katy Price?
Wait, that's Katy Perry.
Oh, right. Oh.
You three are hilarious.
Who's Katy Price?
Katy Perry is Jordan.
Oh, fuck her. And not fuck her. Yeah. I mean, don't fuck her.
So does that
mean
Cheryl Fernandez-Versini?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Yeah, actually, yeah. You know what? I'll change my opinion.
She's classy.
Yeah, the other one, Katy Perry, is Baby, I'm a firework.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were talking about.
Oh, my days. You three are hilarious. Yeah. Who do you prefer, Britney or Christina?
Oh, it has to be. Christina, come on.
Britney.
Christina.
Although Christina wrote one song I like more than all of Britney's, but Britney
which,
better pop.
Which song is that?
Which song?
The one which is like the sort of the big band
with the funky
one.
Oh,
that's
really
good. That's a great
one. That's really good, that song,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
That
yeah,
one.
The
one
that's got, she did that's got the funk.
Yeah, and
that's
also, the funk. She did a really good cover of 13 Men, which is a great kind
but
of big band
really
song.
Really good. And when Britney does, because I don't really like pop music, but if you're going to be like, if you're going to do pop music, you've got to be, I like the good pop music.
Yeah. So, but I love Britney pre-shaved head. That was when Britney was her best.
I always,
which was toxic 2008,
I always like it when they go mental. For whatever reason. Whether it's tragic or just because they're having fun. I
is
always
that
prefer
our
it
segue
they...
into Lindsay Lohan's yeah. right here? Right
I, think,
now.
I think Lohan's been undone by... Who was that? The girl who...
Samantha
was,
Ronson?
No. You know she was in like a lot of Disney films. It's not...
Amanda Bynes.
Yes, Amanda Bynes. She went fucking crazy cakes.
But now she's back at fashion school. She's back on.
Oh, well, that's
she's
cool.
back on track.
Because she was the girl who got stoned with a bong, and then when the police knocked on her apartment door, she threw the glass bong out of a window of a high-rise tenement building, and it smashed on the ground. You know, I don't have a bong.
See, you guys do know this stuff.
I know.
No, he knows this stuff.
The thing is one of those. What's what I find curious about the modern world is that without even caring about anything, you just know what's
you
going
know
on.
You know who
so
they are.
It's like osmosis.
Yeah, it is. It's
even though I don't really know who everyone is, it's like, but then people get annoyed with me because they think I'm being belligerent or like I don't know. And I go, "Who's that?" And they go, "You know who that is." And I go, "I don't know who that is. I don't watch telly. Like I don't know. You know, like they won the X Factor. I don't even like. I don't.
Wait, you're a geek. You don't watch telly.
Well, I don't watch. You know. Normal. Well, most of the stuff most of the stuff I like to watch is made by America or Scandinavia, so
no,
I don't really watch
sense.
Anything on.
At this juncture, could I just say I'm sorry to Ms. Perry.
If you're listening, Ms. Perry,
that, I hope it hasn't ruined my chances. I've got long hair, like Russell.
Kate, that's what I call her, Kate.
Yeah, well,
Kate, I wasn't involved in that. I know who you are, and so I hope our friendship continues.
You write the most beautiful songs about being special, Katie. I'm just saying it.
Paul.
She's wide awake.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't want to... Yeah. Look, I don't want... production team have asked me to subtly...
Tell me to leave.
No, the next guest.
Yeah, I know. I went to get the guest. I know they're there.
But before the next guest comes on, you should probably mention what we're doing all this for, shouldn't you? Because we have, you know, because it's not all about fun.
It's not all about me.
It's not all about you or
what?
Fun.
We are doing this 27-hour podcast to raise money for Comic Relief. So if you're listening and you would like to donate, and we hope you do, because everyone's giving their time and talent to fill this void of a day. Oh, God,
It's barely started.
I was told it was 27 hours for me. That's why I'm here, but great.
It's just going to feel like
I'm
that.
About to get kicked out.
Yeah. So please go to this page. Red Nose Day has a page for all the giving donations. So if you want to donate a little or a lot, please do go to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. And if you go to thegeekatorium.net or fubarradio.com or follow us on Twitter, which is @thegeekatorium or @FUBAR Radio. You can find all the links you need to donate, to join in, to get involved and help us through this dark, dark day.
And why not tweet some of the stuff to us? Like
why not?
Topics for, was it tweet 27?
Topic.
27 topic with the hashtag, obviously. You know how the internet works, you kids.
Indeed.
Or 27 pod. Which is basically the hashtag for the show.
Just in general, if you just want to get in touch. Actually, you know, we were talking about David Schneider before. We didn't know what that sitcom is. Someone tweeted I replied to that, so now we know for a fact. Actually, it's Suman Biswas, who's turning up later, bless him. He said, Schneider's magician was zero talent, was off the sketch show called Up to Something.
Right.
Which also starred Shane Ritchie and Nolan's sister. Which is good to know.
That'll be Colleen Nolan.
Very likely,
married,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Never found it on VHS or DVD. One trick, this is what he's saying, was he was to cover a flame from a cigarette lighter and then make it disappear and then reappear. But it was done with the magician's panache and was hilarious. Late 80s, I reckon.
Yeah, so yes, I was right. Zero talent, his amazing walking feet.
Yeah.
All he did was he just walked along and just went, ah, and pointed to his feet, and then walked back, pointing to his feet.
It was oh, was that?
Yeah, just
oh.
like, ah.
Maybe we'll get him to recreate that today.
I imagine he'd be delighted to that blast from the past.
Fair enough. So yeah, please, please do, if you're listening.
Donate!
Please. Donate! And if you can't listen to Fubar Live, or... Actually, if you can't, then this bit that I'm about to say is pointless. But if you listen to the podcast version, if you go to iTunes, there's a link on our giving page, on Fubar Radio's page, on the Geekatorium page. There's a link to iTunes, and every time we upload this on the hour, you can download the hour-long, well-ish, because we'll take out the songs and Eli's comments. And,
I feel like if someone's listening to this on like a podcast or even like now, they're probably eating like a kebab or some sort of fried chicken.
It is kebab time.
So that's like a fiver, so you can definitely afford another fiver for Comet Relief.
If you can spend money on a kebab and a drink, you can throw £2.
I want £5.
I would like a £5. I reckon £5 should be our minimum.
It should be the minimum donation.
I don't think £5 is unreasonable.
It's
cheap flint bastards.
In London, £5 gets you nothing.
But you know what? Nothing. £5, just don't get the tube tomorrow, walk, and then there's your £5.
Or don't get the bus, or don't get a taxi, or don't eat.
Definitely don't get a taxi if you're not going to donate to this.
No.
Definitely don't. How dare you?
Yeah.
God, I'm angry now. These... So
later on in the night, we're going to have Eli sent out, roving reporter Eli.
I'm up for it.
To see what's going on in the Pleasance.
Send him just to the Pleasance to find out what's going on and just to some other places that are haunted.
Yeah, because, again, tonight, there are 27 different things going on to raise money for Comic Relief. Obviously, we're doing this, but Mark Watson, who is the big daddy of this whole thing, he is doing his own 27-hour show at the Pleasance next door to the Fubar Studios, and we're going to hopefully send Eli across to that a bit later on and just see what's going on and prod people with a stick and come back and give us the inside dirt.
I have one last question for you three before I have to go.
Oh, okay.
Because you're kicking me out because your next guest here is apparently more important.
It's not that. It's just like a turnover thing. You know, we've got to...
Yeah, so you don't love me enough. I thought it was 27 hours with Stephen Bailey. Then someone threw Comet Relief at my face. I want to know, who is your favourite member of S Club 7?
The blonde one who was in Bride of Chucky. No, the Seed of Chucky.
Hannah, girl.
Yeah.
Hannah Spirit.
Hannah.
I'm going to say Hannah because she's the only one I know the name of.
And you only know the name of because I've just said it.
Yeah.
Eli?
I like
I remember her, but I don't know. There was the other one who was the mad racist.
That's Joe O'Meara, allegedly.
I like the fact that you said that and he knew it.
I like that one with the short hair out of the Saturdays.
Oh, Frankie. Yeah, because she was in S Club 8, which shows that you actually know a lot about pop music, because she was in S Club Junior.
Yeah. Exactly. She was, wasn't she? She was hot
she
then
was.
As well.
Oh, wait, Saturdays, S Club Juniors, but like the adult version. Did they grow up to be the
Two
Saturdays?
Two of them did grow up to go into the Saturdays, and then
you know,
the
we were talking
six.
So, was S Club 7 like the Beavers to the Cub Scouts movement, where if you're in one for long enough...
So you go from girl to boy.
Yeah.
What I want to see...
You're ridiculous.
What I'd like to see is S, you know, like we were talking about
SS Club 7.
No, Hollyoaks. Just let me finish.
Alright.
Like, you know, you had Hollyoaks late night.
Mm.
Ooh. Yeah. What about S Club 7 late night?
S Club Night.
Sex Club 7.
Oh. I think that's what the S stands for. You know?
Sex Club.
It does, doesn't it?
Can I just say that? Are you actually admitting that you fancied someone from S Club Junior? Is that
no, but he fancies them now they've graduated to the Saturdays, so that's legal.
Because was Hannah also in Primeval? Was she the one who was in her pants? Yeah, she's my favourite.
She and Agent Cody Banks.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Following in Hilary Duff's footsteps.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Hilary Duff? Don't pretend we don't know who she is.
Miley Cyrus. I liked her until she became Miley Cyrus.
Wait, what are you saying? That's Hannah Montana.
Hilary Duff.
Oh, wait. I'm
with you guys. You three.
They're all so alike.
Hilary Duff is Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, I lose track.
She didn't go mental, did she?
No, she's a nice girl.
She's basically fine, isn't she?
Yeah, she's good.
She was she in... War Inc. The John Kesington, was she the sort of the sort of the belly dancer sort of
yes,
grown
she
up
was. Yeah.
That's because I only know people through in films, basically.
Yeah, she was in War Inc. and she was
she was the sort of the
and
sort
she
of she
did
looked
the bad Polish accent.
Yeah, she had that sort of interesting Russian? Sort of well, she had the sort of Romany sort of vibe.
That's
it's great.
Famous gypsy fight in cinema history. What are you going to go with?
I don't know.
Snatch.
I just like the fact you popped in and just said Snatch. I was going to say From Russia With Love.
From Russia With Love.
Yeah, but then that's the only one I could think of.
Snatch was the only one I could think of.
Anyway, the point is, it's now 22 minutes past 10. And if we're going to say goodbye to Stephen, which I believe we are now, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
Bye, Stephen.
I know, I was your favourite ever.
Steven. But you at least
It's all downhill from here.
That's but it.
You at least get to choose your play-out song. So what have you chosen for us?
Oh, I chose, and you're welcome, universe, Cheryl Fernandez-Fersini's Crazy Stupid Love.
Excellent, Stephen.
Just for, well, I did it for you guys.
Thank you.
Well, we're glad. Educate
us.
Thank you for being here tonight. Round of applause.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Let's get this out of the way.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
My name's Paul Gannon.
I'm Richard Sadley.
And I am Eli Silverman.
And we have been joined by a new face. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Steve from London, South London Hardcore.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey! Before we get on...
You were worried I wasn't going to know, hello, how you doing?
Yeah. I think we should just point out that that last song was by the KLF and not Cheryl Cole.
Was it not Cheryl? Well, no. I've learned a lot.
We all try and play it later.
That was not a screw you to Stephen.
No,
it was merely
desk issues.
Yes, it was very much a desk issue situation.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody here except Stephen that's not, you know, glad he played the KLF instead of Cheryl Cole, but I don't want anyone to think it was a deliberate slight.
It was not a deliberate slight. My stupidity got the better of my...
yeah, it was...
What was the phrase?
My ignorance proved me wrong.
Yeah, my ignorance proved me wrong. I'm putting that on a fucking T-shirt.
That should be on your gravestone.
Sorry.
That's it. So I'll just say one last time. Again, we're here for 27 hours doing it all the way, baby. And we'd like you to donate for our efforts. So please, if you can, a couple of quid, a fiver, go on.
Fiver.
my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. And that is spelled GEEKATORIUM 27 podcast. And if you need to, everything's on FUBARradio.com, geekatorium.net. We can follow us on Twitter at the Geekatorium or at FUBAR Radio. Get involved, give us topics, give us something to talk about, or disagree with us. And we will not be reading those tweets. Sandling, rock it to me. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is this brilliant podcast that everyone should give money to, because it's for comic relief. But mainly, we've got another guest in, a new guest. Stephen, the man of many podcasts.
It's addictive. You start doing one, and then you're like, I can do a podcast about this and that.
So what was it? Did you just sort of, was you on the CB radio? Was that the gateway?
Breaker.
Next thing you know, you're just talking to no one, and then...
and then one person.
And then it's just, you can't stop.
There's a friend of mine I used to work with, came with the idea of us doing a podcast together. And the thing we realised we had in common and loved talking about was South London.
Yeah.
So we set up South London Hardcore about 3 years ago now and enjoyed it so much we set up a thing called the Hold Fast Network.
Wow.
Which is basically us doing podcasts and then finding other podcasts that we like to host and sort of share between us, sort of cross-pollinate, cross-promote. And yeah, we've got all sorts now. So we've got South London Hardcore, which was the originator. I do a show called Process, which is me talking to comics creators about their work.
Oh,
because
lovely.
When I'm not podcasting, I'm working at Gosh Comics.
Yeah, very good comic shop.
Yeah, so you've seen you there a couple
I
of
do,
times.
I do, but that's where if you want a not celebrity endorsement, that's where I buy my comics.
I didn't know you still read them.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, most of the things I like are finished. So Hellblazer was one I always
got. He's coming back,
but still the PG bullshit that
no
one cares about.
I think they're amping it up again. They sort of realised that doing Hellblazer without any sort of demonic presence really wasn't really going to
work. Or the cigarettes.
Yeah, sarcastic Englishman.
The cigarette's a bit of a tough one because there's a whole sort of thing in Marvel and DC Comics not to show any character smoking, which doesn't really work for a lot of these characters.
Mm. The other one I collected was Scout. That was my other one, which I really liked.
He's doing loads of good stuff now.
Yeah,
Jason
he's
Aaron.
a very good sort of, well, like, not guest, what's the phrase, like guest writer. You know, he does lots of good sort of on other people, you know, on like.
No, but he's got a couple of good original series now. Men of Wrath just finished up. Mm. Southern Bastards, which is a sort of noirish crime tale set in Alabama with a backdrop of American football. So it's like True Detective meets Friday Night Lights.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You're all intrigued.
Can I ask a question?
I like noir.
Because despite the film, I've always had a soft spot for Howard the Duck, and I know they're bringing back Howard the Duck as a new comic strip, aren't
they? Right.
And I don't know if anyone. Is it out yet? Do you know if it's
going to
be any good?
It's not out, but it's going to be really good because it's done by a guy called Chip Zdarsky, who.
And that rings a bell.
He's the artist on Sex Criminals.
No. Oh, okay.
Which is a sort of smash hit comic book series out at the moment, which I think is about to be optioned into
TV series.
Is this the thing about the guy whose penis can go back in time? Or
I knew it wasn't going to be the right thing, but I wanted to hear what you were going about. I knew once you said his penis, I was like, no, but what? But it is kind of that. Basically, it's a guy and a girl who find out that when they orgasm, time stops.
That's the one, yeah.
So, I like your story better, but they managed to make a good fist of it, but it sounds terrible.
It was more of a jumping off point.
Actually, it was more of a nick from some stand-up they used to do. Thanks, Paul.
What stand-up?
Yeah, the bit where I say ketamine makes your penis go back in time.
No, because I'm not ripping it off, because the whole braces of this.
Yeah.
The point being is,
I like the fact I've walked into a massive domestic.
Yeah.
It's awful. I'm always comics, guys.
It's awful when mum and dad fight, isn't it?
They still love us, though, don't they?
Yeah.
They keep telling us.
I'll let this lie for now, okay?
You've got 27 hours to hash it out.
Yeah, exactly. There's time.
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they won't. It'll be like Lost. 27 hours, and then at the end of it, no resolution.
Nothing's decided.
Because the thing that fascinated me most about Howard the Duck was, I can't remember the guy's name, but the original creator of Howard the Duck,
Steve Gerber.
Yeah, he did something during his last time at the comic where he cloned thousands of Howard the Ducks so he could walk away with the real one, leaving the fake one in the Marvel universe.
He fell out with Marvel
and
did a crossover with another company that he was working for at the time.
Yeah.
So Marvel did the first issue with Howard the Duck having this adventure in another world, and he did the second issue. And Marvel, he had to have final approval on, and Marvel couldn't block it because it was published by another company. And in that story, he took Howard the Duck to a parallel universe and sent back a clone, and said in the script, he was like, "The looks and sounds exactly like Howard the Duck, but he's definitely not Howard the Duck."
That's great.
Oh, good. So basically, judging by the talent involved, it would be worth looking into.
I've only seen promotional images so far, and I'm not a massive Howard the Duck fan, but I think it's going to be cracking. There's some brilliant.
Because I'm not a fan of the art style, but mainly that's because it's a taste thing, because obviously it was designed to look like Donald Duck on purpose.
Yes.
And that's part of the appeal, to see that character in such depraved circumstances. And what they've done is they've kind of based it on what we saw at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but I didn't really like that look that much of that.
It's a tough one because, you know, with any sort of superhero movie, once you're blending these fantastical things into a real-world backdrop, you either lose something or you have to compromise. And I think with Howard the Duck, they tried to do a sort of naturalistic Duckman blend, which sort of fitted in that world. But as you say, the problem now is that's the people, the Howard Duck that people know.
That's canon so now.
That's Steve Gerber's furious.
Oh, I'm sure he is, as he sits on a big pile of burning money. I'm just going to take a quick admin break, and by admin I mean cigarette.
So you do South London hardcore. Is there an equivalent for, you know, the real part of London?
Well, you say the real part of London, but the real part of London hasn't stepped up. I mean, we're celebrating South London. We're digging up gems every fortnight about the place. People have come from there, inventions that, you know, I could give you a list of people and things from South London that will make your head spin. Number one, parliamentary democracy. You're welcome.
I didn't know that.
Well, because the real London won't tell you the truth. That's what you need to understand.
You're saying I live
also
in...
Also the bowler hat. I mean, on a gentler form of invention.
So you're saying what I thought of as the real London is just some kind of facsimile.
It's just some loft extension.
This is the thing. The real London is where the monarchy live, it's where Parliament lives, it's, you know, so it is the seat of these very clumsy, ostensible pieces of power, but the people live in South London. That's what you got to worry about. What are we getting up to down there? And we're, you know, we're making things. That's what we're doing.
Bandits.
And we've got a huge history of crime. And yes. You know, not proud of it, but it's something that you have to accept. Yeah, there's always been this tension of South London being this lawless place.
It's Minder, isn't it? You know the line from Minder?
Oh, yeah.
He says to Arthur, we've got to go down south. And he said, very, very, very wicked people. Very wicked people.
There's one episode where Terry does a job in a nightclub in Penge, and I love it so much just because it's a shout out for Penge.
I love that show.
It's a wonderful show.
I went to a BAFTA Q&A with Ray Winston. And there's all questions at the end, like, it's too much about working on Sexy Bin. I was like, what was it like working on Minder?
Was he on Minder?
He did quite a few things. He was like the sort of the. He's in one of the.
He was, wasn't he?
He's in one of my favourite.
The young mechanic.
He's in one
the
of my favourite episodes of Minder, which is obviously set in a video shop, which is my favourite. So it's like Arthur Daly's Hollywood Nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Ray Winston's in it. Ian McShane's in it. Brian Blessed's in it.
Rula Lenska's
in it. Yeah. I think there's one other person who's like weirdly famous. It's just like, and it's all about like this sex tape that gets swapped with a normal tape, and they've got to get this. Like, this is brilliant.
That's brilliant.
And Terry's got to go and work in a video shop. It's the best thing ever.
Do you know why Arthur Daly's a coward in the show? First episode, they've got no budget, and there's a scene where there's like a confrontation. Originally, the idea was like Arthur and Terry are both, you know, tough guy wide boys.
Right.
But the producer goes up to George Cole and goes, we've only got one suit, and if that suit gets torn, it's going to ruin continuity. So get involved, but don't tear the suit because it will just ruin everything. So George Cole goes, why don't I just not get involved? Like, why would I have a Minder if I'm handy myself?
Yeah.
So he was like, make him a coward. And that's it.
It's amazing because it's so integral to the whole relationship.
Although one of my favourite moments in Minder is there's a bit where Arthur's in a lock-up overnight with this grass who's trying to get him to like turn Terry over, and he gets really angry and he grabs the guy and like pushes him up against the wall like Darth Vader, and he's like, you know, don't forget I could do stuff. He goes really hard, but then kind of remembers himself and lets him down, like smooths down his lapels and goes, I'm sorry, I do lose it from time to time, but
he's
great,
one of the best fictional
characters
of all time.
Great shows where that was supposed to be like a Dennis Waterman vehicle.
Absolutely,
wasn't it? Had it stolen from him. I mean, they're a great double act, but like Arthur Daly wasn't supposed to be, supposed to be a double act. It was supposed to be, you know,
it's called Minder. It was about Terry going out and doing jobs, but then you get this guy and this performance and this character like, well, you know, and to be fair on Dennis Waterman, no, he did, you know, the reason he left the show was he was like, it's become the Arthur Daly show, but he wasn't embittered towards George Cole at all, because you just have to respect it. The guy just stepped up and owned it.
Yeah, he was great performer.
Yeah, brilliant. I quite like South London when I go. Because I live in Essex, right?
Which you're neutral in all this.
Well, no, but it's like, but when you live somewhere like Essex, which has a lot of negative stereotypes, that you don't actually have the same. Well, obviously, a lot of people in Essex are weirdly hateful about lots of things. But I just find that, like, lots of things you're supposed to hate, like, oh, we hate Scousers, or, you know, like the jokes that you know, like lazy comedians, and it's like, oh, he's from the North, or he's from Scotland, so he must be a thief, or. I've never, no, but like, there's all these terrible things. I've never had that, because I know what it's like to be from a place that everyone hates. So when you go, oh, well, South London's terrible, you go, it's probably not. Because if it's anything like Essex, there's probably a few bad apples, but basically, it's fine.
To be honest. I really don't have anything against South London.
No.
I need to make it very clear that South London Hardcore isn't an anti-North London sentiment.
No, it's just...
It's basically us trying to rebalance
the
media perception, the cultural perception, the historical perception of South London as this hotbed of terrible people not really doing anything. Like going, well, Michael Faraday, you know, made some wonderful innovations with electricity down there as well.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
The only thing I find troubling about South London, this is just from a personal thing, is it's just really hard to know where I am, because I don't know South London that well.
Course,
so if I'm driving, it's really hard. If I'm north of the river, I can basically just head east. I know I'll always basically hit the A13. But when you're south, you look around, it's just signs going, Woolwich? Or, you're like, none of these places mean anything to me. And there was a time I was trying to get out of Crystal Palace. I'd been to a gig at Crystal Palace, and I was driving home, and I didn't know where to go, and everywhere I looked, it said Bromley. And I can't be.
It can't be in Circle. It's
I
not a principality.
I must be in Bromley, because everywhere I turn takes me to Bromley. So I can't, like, how is it that everywhere I go it tells me to go to Bromley?
That's the Bromley space-time warp.
Bromley, yeah. That's what happens when your dick's on ketamine.
No, don't. Seriously, I might need to use
that. Have I got a nick it as well? Is it like a tradition? Do we all go around the room and steal that joke
It's your turn for the...
Paul didn't even know he was nicking it. That's what he does. He pauses. He can't think of what to say. He'll nick something. Not even realise.
Can I just say, he's out of the room. This is a perfect time to really just lay into him. Just establish your case.
Let's just put a chair under the door so he can't come in.
I'll tell you my problem with Paul.
Yeah. I've only just met him.
Don't
but
give
I
me
can stories. Tell you. Look, I've had 5 minutes with him and immediately I can tell this about him.
No, I'm not going to. Listen, let's not knock Paul, okay?
No. Till he's here.
Yeah. No, it's much more satisfying for me to do it to his face.
So what other interesting podcasts have you got on your...
Just today, did the last episode of a show called Mickeypedia, which I do with my friend Mickey Boyd, where we randomly generate topics to talk about.
Oh, wow.
So we have a section called The Big Question, where we put in words like who, where, when, why, what into Google, and let it autocomplete into a question. Most of which are really grim because people are having a terrible time
they're wondering about cancer.
Yeah, they're all just sort of like trying to just get. Don't get your symptoms analysed on Google. Google doesn't know. It's not going to give you a complete answer. There might be more or less going on.
Yeah, certainly.
Especially when it's all algorithms as well. So it's like it's deliberately going for the bleakest thing in the world.
What's
trending?
Ebola. You haven't got Ebola. It's just so happens that the news is talking about it.
Sometimes now I Google things. And it gives me this, and I sometimes, so now because I don't use Yahoo enough, I go on Yahoo to actually find out answers because it doesn't know
it's
my.
It's not skewing
algorithms to pornography and
we know what you
and videotapes.
Well, I read the other day they're actually going to try and change the algorithm.
Because so it actually gives you the answer you want.
But no, because there's too much falsehood. Because you know their algorithm. The top result is the site with the most links to other sites.
Right.
Now, what they're talking about is having a sort of truth Google where the top result...
Relevance.
Will be the one with the most fact.
Ah.
Actual fact.
Wow. Right. How are they assessing that?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of scientific facts.
What's disturbing,
there's stuff
though,
that people know that are factually correct about the world, yeah?
But that's
like
what
the point,
you think
the
Google
boiling
is,
point
though.
Of water or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Paul's coming up with that joke about time travelling penile. We know that, don't we? That history's taught us anything. I've done it. I've reappropriated a joke just for a second.
But that might be better for people who think they've got cancer. Because the top result would be...
Still go to a doctor.
I can't
emphasise that enough. I don't care what they do with Google, unless it's a direct link to a doctor. And even then, he's guessing from what you're typing in.
Yeah.
And we also have a section in the show called Mickeypedia, where we go to Wikipedia and we use the random article button. And if this show's done anything, I hope it's publicised that there's a random article button on Wikipedia, which is the best thing on the internet.
I sit there for hours just pressing random over and over again.
I just find you type me something you're half interested in, then it goes, which is a thing based on this. And you go, oh, I'll click that link. And the next thing you know, I went through like... It was like pagan gods ended up with, and it was like money in
Babylon,
and then just like that's really interesting. And then trees, and then suddenly like molecular chemistry, and
it's
just
great,
this whole.
It's the best thing on the internet. So we go to Wikipedia, we click on the random article button, and then whatever comes up the first time, we don't talk about it. We say what it is. And we say whether we're glad we swerved it, or you know we're gutted that we can't talk about it, but we don't talk about it. Press a random article button again, we don't talk about it. But on the third time, whatever comes up, and the first time we did it, it was hydrochloric chemistry, and it was a bit of a nightmare, but we managed to talk about science lessons at school and get something out of it. It's all about swerving it around. We have to talk about the third topic that comes up on the random article.
Because a lot of the time it's like a river in Czechoslovakia.
But we saw you're kidding. Oh, that's awesome.
It's gold. Audio gold.
Crimea River.
So it's a section in the podcast, but the podcast is also called
Mickeypedia.
Yeah.
Just because once you get a name like that.
Yeah.
And we the logo is the Wikipedia W turned upside down to form.
Of course.
So, you know,
it all neatly fits.
It writes itself off. You don't really have to record anything. You just sort of go, it's called this. That's what the logo looks like. Don't even listen, guys. Do listen.
Well, we've had a bit of meta podding on our podcast.
A pod inside a pod.
Yes, we do a podcast, The Uncleakables.
That was my name, by the way.
Yeah, very nice.
And he ruined it and took it off.
He ruined it. Yes, he stole my name for the podcast. That's you talking about.
Seeing a pattern emerging here.
Yeah.
And there's people who do a podcast in the States, Hadron...
Gospel Hour.
Hadron Gospel Hour?
Yeah, the Hadron Gospel Hour.
And we appeared in their podcast. They've appeared in ours.
Yeah. Lovely.
It was nice. A nice bit of crossover.
Theirs is like a scripted, it's like a radio play.
Right, right.
Sort of sci-fi comic it's radio play.
Hitchhiker-y-guidery in its term. It's a very nice
bit
podcast.
Night Vale as well.
Yeah, it's got that. It's about these guys who created like a Hadron Collider and it split the universe into billions of fractions, and so they go through each fraction everything doing...
Ah, brilliant. Yeah, it's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah, so what did we play? We played two time agents who hate each other.
Can I quickly ask how you travel through time?
Yeah. It was
Can I start another fight by asking what method you use to travel through time?
You right now, you take your penis, you dunk it in a bag of ketamine, and then you're off.
So, yeah, and then they appeared in our Halloween special as a kind of weird interruption. It's nice. It was good. I like it when it gets all incestuous between pods.
That's the thing. There's a community, isn't there? Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing. Once, you know, the whole podcast thing is burgeoning all the time. And it is great. And, you know, that's partly why we went to do the network where, you know, there's shows completely unaffiliated to us. There's one we just started doing called the Basement Tapes Radio where it's guys doing themed mixes, essentially. Oh. So it's like be shoegaze, could be heartbreak. Fantastic. And then they just chat about the songs and why they chose them. And, you know, two guys that we'd never met before, but just liked what they were doing and said, do you want to be part of this? It's a lovely social thing, as well as sort of putting together this nice selection of things for people to listen to.
Well, one of the things, Kevin Smith has his Smodcast channel. Yeah, that's kind of the podcast I listen to a lot. He says the great thing about podcasting now is it's like it's the Wild West of broadcasting.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about Ofcom so much because, you know, unless you're completely off the taste scale, your audience picks what they want, so they expect it, and they're not going to be shocked and offended. And it is that nice sense of freedom of your voice, your stories, your
and it's
your
not format. A case of you have to, you know, put the concept together, pitch it to a producer, hope that something, and then they've got their own ideas about you produce whatever you want. It's punk, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's but instead of like three chords, it's like get a Zoom recorder, get Audacity, and just sit down and talk about stuff.
And you're there.
Yeah, it's all done.
Yeah. And then somehow you end up doing 27 hours of it.
Yeah. I've never quite figured the jump between what we did and what we do now. But it's nice. It's all good.
Do 54 hours if we included North London.
Yeah. Good.
Callback.
All the comedy staples here.
Oh, good. I mean, I want to just mention this. We have, every now and then I'm going to mention a sponsor, and this one's just come up. Someone sponsored us.
Yay!
So I want to say thank you for Stuart Strickland for sponsoring us tonight. So round of applause.
Thanks, Stuart.
Yay! Big Stu!
Yes. Let's just say if you donate more than a fiver, we'll mention you. And if you don't, eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although anything anyone wants to give is fine.
Anything you want to give is fine, but anything under a fiver, you're basically taking the piss.
Yeah. You're basically saying you don't value charity and you don't want to help. You're just doing
it. £5 will just about buy you a pint.
Yeah.
But you know what it'll do? You know what it'll do to kids in Africa?
If you go to South London, it'll buy you a pint. Yeah. North London's right fucking out.
Yeah.
Seriously. How much? That's what I find myself saying. How much?
My response is usually, of course it is. They go, that's like £5.15. You're like, of course it is. Of course it's £5.15 for that pint of beer.
What they love to say now with all this craft beer nonsense, you go, oh, that looks nice, I have one of those. They go, it's £3 for a half, is that okay? You know?
And then we all say, no!
Yeah, that's the difference. Because I'm more of a real ale person than craft beer. And I remember someone said to me, what's the difference between real ale and craft beer? I said, £4 a pint.
I remember going back to my university town for a little while just to see friends and whatever, and we went to the student pub and it was like, yeah, can I have two Guinnesses and a shot or whatever it was? And he goes, yeah, that's £4 something or other. And I was like, oh my god, why did I ever leave? I got change from a fiver after buying two pints of Guinness. Never.
That is mad.
Yeah,
madness.
Yeah, but now we live in Tory Britain.
Well, I stayed in I did a gig in the North. It was a brilliant gig. Really great place. It was like a sort of place in the middle. It was sort of between Middlesbrough and where's the place that has the Goth Festival?
Dudley?
Coventry?
No. It's where Dracula is.
I want to say Whitby, but it's not Whitby.
Yeah, it's not Whitby. Because
that's Kent, isn't it? Whitby's Kent, isn't it?
Yeah, Whitby's Kent.
Where's the place up the north that does the big Goth Festival? Ah, well.
Grimsby?
Where's Mickeypedia when you need him?
Keep clicking a random article.
I was around there, And
I'm gonna look this up.
I was in a hotel. And I bought two Nuki Browns because I didn't have any ale. I mean, I like Nuki Brown, but Newcastle Brown and Guinness are two drinks that basically, since I go to pubs that have ale, I don't really drink anymore because I don't, you know, that's, but I like them anyway. Two Nuki Browns, that'd be £5.20. And I was like, what? £5.20 for two Nuki Browns? Anyway, yeah, sorry, it's quite expensive because it's a hotel bar. And I was like, I just found, you know, like, I know where I'm going on holiday. I'm staying in this hotel at this bar for 2 weeks. £5.20 for two drinks,
like, halcyon days.
Oh my goodness! And that was only like about 3 years ago.
Oh,
that
shit.
Was just like, yeah, it wasn't like the '80s.
Fair enough. So, what is the weirdest thing you've ever had come across your podcast?
The South London Hardcore.
Yeah,
or anything, or the Wikipedia,
or anything.
Sorry, can I just say?
Oh, wait,
Whitby does have a goth festival.
Oh, of course it does. Why wouldn't it? It's Whitby.
I was thinking that that's. But Whitby's in. Oh, I think. I don't know. Sorry. I'm going to stop talking about that.
There is the one up north. Up the
is
northeast.
There a Whitby up north?
And it's the place where Dracula lands when he comes to Britain or something. There's some sort of link to Dracula, which is why there's a goth festival
yes.
up there. I can't place the name of it.
Terrible. If only someone would tell me.
Has anyone got a copy of Dracula?
No, it's not. Normally, I never leave home without one, but today I just thought.
It all says Whitby here.
Yeah,
right,
Whitby
right.
Goth Weekend. Although this says here the latest one was 2013. So,
oh no,
I reckon the Goths migrated.
Oh no,
they had a year off.
They went south for the winter.
I had Goths when I was at boarding school. There was Goths there.
Yeah,
they were cool.
I used to be a Goth.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't cool enough to be a goth.
Well, I don't know if I was a proper goth. I just wore black and makeup.
Were you a trainer goth?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And just for clarification, I've just checked it now. Whitby was where Dracula landed.
Ah.
So it all makes sense.
I used to, I used to sort of just have big baggy jumpers and, you know, basically just wanted to be Robert Smith. Still do, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you ever grow out of wanting to be Robert Smith.
No. Well, I haven't. I've yet to grow into that.
Ah.
But,
brilliant.
Bless him. My brain's gone blank. Oh shit, we're 3 hours in.
What's the strangest thing you've had to come across your podcast?
That's a very good question.
On South London Hardcore, loads of great discoveries. Probably the one about parliamentary democracy, where there was like a meeting just after the English Civil War, or a set of meetings by these political agitators, and they kind of developed what we think of in terms of parliamentary democracy, in terms of the format it should take. It was the Putney Debates, it was called. And and it was this odd. A friend had told me about it. He's like, yeah, you know, South London is where parliamentary democracy is won. Also, and this is a massive name drop, but I'm not going to apologise for it, Alan Moore made the point that South London. I'll phrase how he phrased it. We were talking about Shooter's Hill, where his friend lived, and he wrote a book about his friend who lived in Shooter's Hill. And he was saying, a couple of great quotes from him on the episode. Number one, after Northampton, Shooter's Hill is probably my favourite place in the world. It's a quote from Alan Moore. That's not bad.
Fair enough.
That's what South London's got. But he also said, what you realise when you look at the history of it, you know, it's a chalk shelf in Shooter's Hill that collapsed, that forms the Thames Valley. You know, no South London, no London.
Oh.
Not my words, the words of Alan Moore.
That was very
and he's a magician.
Yeah. Yeah, what does he... He created his own... No, I wouldn't say religion, but he created his own belief system.
It's not a religion.
No.
Because it's his point... His point is it's not a religion because religion is, by the very definition of the word, a group of people getting together. And he says it's a belief system that he believes in and he's not recruiting. And basically, it was this idea of he does sort of magic and needed a focal point for his magic. So he found a god that was proven in Roman times to be a hoax. A god called Glycon, who was a serpent god in Rome. And was popular for a little while, was a fertility god. And the priest of Glycon was very, very good at making women pregnant.
Oh.
Because of the snake, you know, of the magic snake, which was revealed quickly to be a glove puppet. And apparently not even a particularly good one. So Alan Moore's thing was, the problem with gods is people go, oh, well, you believe this, you believe that. He was like, yeah, if it's been completely disproven, then no one can shatter my belief in it.
Oh.
Which is a very strong philosophical point, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
no
totally.
One can disprove my God because he's already been disproven. So I believe in this thing that definitely isn't real.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I don't have any particular religious beliefs. I mean, the thing is, my theory is I was brought up Catholic, and that is the surefire way to becoming an atheist by the time you're a teenager. And it's true. I remember going to my first confession. You know, when I won't say indoctrinate, but you know, you go through the process of you go for your first confession, all this kind of stuff. And I just remember going into the confessional booth with the vicar on the other side, or priest, or whatever. And he goes, "What have you done wrong?" And I sat there for a minute to go, "I'm 10.
Yeah.
What am I meant to?"
You were born, you dirty born person.
Yeah, I was born sick.
Haven't you read Lord
How
of
dare
the Flies?
You?
And I just don't like the fact that most of Catholicism seems to be built on the idea of you were born dirty and you need to spend the rest of your life apologising.
There's so
for
much
that.
About suffering as well, isn't there? Like I was raised Catholic as well, and years ago I was just going through old stuff, and I found a drawing I'd done like 7 years old of the crucifixion. And it's, you know, a badly drawn Jesus on a cross. But I've just gone nuts with a red pen all over the top of it. So it looks like some sort of bad Scandinavian metal cover. You know, it's just like
it's a gory religion.
But there's a gold star at the bottom. They were all over it. They were like, yeah, you get it. This guy gets it.
Oh, hello. We are being invaded by, I believe, Mr. Rufus Howe.
Hello, everyone.
Round of applause for our guest.
Like the early days of 1970s American radio.
Oh, the glory house days.
Whoa, it's a zoo in here!
We didn't have a kazoo earlier.
Always time that late.
God, how is it going? How's it going for Mark's show?
It's, well, I mean, I don't. If the listeners are familiar with Mark Watson, then it's going exactly as you would imagine.
So a mixture of joy and pain.
Joy and pain, and we are 2 hours in, and literally almost nothing has been accomplished.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it. Yeah, we are approaching our third hour of this.
Yes. You started at the same time, right?
An hour before.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah, we're kind of wanting to make sure we kind of stagger it so we can talk about Mark stuff and then also worry about our own things.
Oh, very good.
So, yes, we're basically the red carpet event to Mark Watson. That's what I convinced myself.
You're the Fern Cotton to his...
Thank you.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Thank you.
Finally, someone's got their balls.
It's like all my dreams have come true. So what did you get up to?
Well, I've got up to absolutely naff all so far.
Oh.
So last year on the Spring 5 Hour event, I had suggested that I would try... what was the idea was strapping an egg to my chest...
This.
And then strapping a mallet to my penis and smashing the egg on my chest with the... And I tried it at home, and my God, pain unimaginable. And a normal person might think, look, for the listener, and I do mean singular, the issue is that when you swing, you think it'll swing back the way, but of course gravity just means it drops straight the way back down. So it was literally like tying a house brick to my penis and then just dropping it.
You didn't seem happy about it at all.
Yeah, no.
Like at any stage.
No, well, that's the thing. So I genuinely suggested it thinking, I'm sure I can make that happen, and then practiced it once and immediately was just in pieces about it. So the idea was, it's something I clearly do not want to be doing, so if enough money is raised, then I will do it anyway.
Again.
And I broke 25 eggs with a mallet strapped to my penis. I say strapped, I mean gaffer taped. and that had its own fun.
Getting it on is easy, taking it off is,
that was
is
it.
The trick.
Oh,
yeah.
And in the fit of pique, in the final moments of having done it, I just ripped it off, which was totally the worst, the worst choice. So the whole thing was obviously, worth doing on some level, and on another level, a massive, awful thing.
I can only imagine how fresh the skin on your penis must have been the day, or week.
So are you doing a challenge this year that is similar, or
well, that's
you
the thing. Is that? How do you follow that? And we didn't know, but we thought that other people might. So I've turned up, and largely the offer is this: come up with something. Suggest it. If the people in the room say that that's the one, then 24, you know, the idea is by midnight I'll know what the challenge is, and then 24 hours later I will meet that challenge.
Holy Christ.
But it's, you know, make it big. Go big or go home. I've got a...
I was going to say, what could be bigger than your penis? We just don't know.
You wouldn't be the first. Yeah, so that's the idea, but we're just waiting on suggestions. The hashtag
Because this year my wife banned me outright from anything penis related.
Fair play.
She found it so cripplingly embarrassing that that is off the card. So any suggestion of what I might do can be tweeted with the hashtag not the balls.
Right, I have to use this opportunity to play a jingle and play a song, and we'll be right back as soon as possible. I thank you.